Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, Fungula listeners. Welcome back to another episode. On this episode, I have a very fun guest. This is my friend. He's very funny, that you may recognize from his appearances on the Ellen DeGeneres show. He went viral a long time ago for a prank that he played on his class, and it got the attention of everybody, including Ellen DeGeneres. He came on her show. They gifted them all kinds of stuff. It was so cool. Anyway, so you might recognize him from that. If you don't recognize him from that, you may recognize him from many other viral, funny videos that he does on his time based as a teacher when he was a teacher. But now he's a full-time stand-up comic. He is hilarious. He is my friend. You can see him on tour. Go to joedombrowski.com. Oh, I didn't tell you who it was yet. It's Joe Dombrowski, my friend. Go to joedombrowski.com. You can see when he's on tour. He'll be at the Irvine Improv, at San Jose Improv. So all my San Jose peeps, hey, bah, 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 go see Joe Dombrowski. He's so funny, you guys. On this episode, we get into his gratitude for his parents and his in-laws, for vegetables, for Chaperone. I keep wanting to say Chappelle. It's Chapel. Okay. You'll see how I get educated on this episode as well. So we have some really great gratefuls and a really solid matitude that he and Danielle bond over strongly. So you can check that out. And then don't forget to check me out. I'm on tour as well, you guys. Go to angela.com to see you when I'm coming to a city near you. But coming up next, I'm actually doing a show at Zany's in Nashville. If you want to be a part of the Fungula live show, come to Zany's. Come share your gratitude and your matitude, and maybe you'll get picked to talk about it at the show. So go to my website. You get tickets for that. Go to Zany's website. I'm also going to be in Alabama.
Yes, this weekend, Huntsville.
Huntsville, Alabama. Where else am I at for the rest of the year?
Hartford, Connecticut.
I'm all over the place, you guys. Just go to my website. See when I'm coming to you. Also, thank you to everybody who's left a review of my podcast. I appreciate it so much because all of those reviews help. Like, people see, like, oh, other people really like this podcast. Maybe I'll give it a shot. And the more those reviews grow and grow, it's so dumb. It's like a numbers thing. Like, people see it and they go, oh, like 1,000 people have reviewed this and it has a lot of stars. I'm going to listen to it. So that's the game that we have to play. So thank you so much for all of you who are leaving reviews and giving me all the stars and telling all your friends and your family about this podcast so we can continue sending out the good vibes. We appreciate that. If you want to leave us a message and tell us what you're grateful for, you can do that as well. That's 747-300-5380. You can call and tell me what you're grateful for. Is there anything else I'm missing, Danielle?
And then also just, you know, follow and like us on Instagram and all the socials.
We're on social media, you guys.
We're all over the place.
We're on TikTok. We're on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We're on. Okay. So just like, follow, leave a comment, share a video with your friend, put in your stories, whatever. Just get the word out about the podcast. We really appreciate it. And we're having a good time doing this podcast. I hope you guys are having a good time listening to it and watching it on YouTube. So here is another episode of Fungula. Wait, I almost forgot. Don't forget to watch Joe Dombrowski's special on YouTube. It's called Don't Eat the Crayons. Very funny. Very beautiful, actually. It's shot very well. I meant to talk to him about that and I forgot to bring it up. But go watch his special on YouTube. It's called Don't Eat the Crayons. Don't Eat the Crayons, everyone. I don't know why I said it that way. It came out without my permission like that. Anyway, check out this episode of Fungula with my friend Joe Dombrowski.
That is the crazy part about TikTok is, like, something will come up and it's like, this is old. and then and it'll trend tomorrow.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Uh-huh.
Yours will.
My what?
Your old sketches that you used to do and stuff, for sure.
I would always know when
like Boquiqui's Christmas songs?
When Boquiqui, but mostly the nail salon, when a new outlet or somebody had picked it up and started distributing it, like they posted it on their feed or whatever, because I would get a new group of like hate messages from people.
Hate messages?
Oh yeah, for the people who don't like that.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would be like, where are all these people coming? Like, this is old. Like, where have you been? I'm like, oh, there must be some account somewhere who just posted it to their followers who don't know about me or this sketch, and they just see it and they go, this is inappropriate or whatever.
And they think it was yesterday.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I would also, I do a joke in my second hour special, the homecoming show, which was shot in maybe 2012. And it's a joke about my honeymoon in St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole joke is how I felt like we were more like on a missions trip than on our honeymoon. And I was like, it felt a little third worldy and, you know, whatever, just cracking my jokes. Years later.
No, stop.
I got a slew of just hate messages from St. Lucians. And I was like, first of all, congrats, St. Lucia, on your first gold medal. Hey.
What sport?
Track and field. Oh. It was the 50, I don't know, the quick one.
100 meter dash.
Is that what it is? 50, 100? I don't know.
I think it's
the one 100. That goes from here to here.
I think it's 100. Nice. I don't know.
Listen.
And I have it on every day, and I'm still going, mm-hmm.
Right, same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the fast. She went real fast, and nice. She won. Yeah. Anyways, congrats. But, oh, man, they went in on me, like, hating me for that joke that I told, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this was, like, 7 years ago, but also, I'm sorry.
Right, yeah. You, famous Honey Boo Boo quote, haters make me famous.
Yeah.
I do live by it.
Yeah.
You have to.
I mean, here's the thing. Haters make me famous, yes. But also it still hurts sometimes. I'm like, do I want to be famous?
Do you read the comments?
Some on certain platforms. Some I don't.
Right.
Here's the thing. Facebook, they say, is for like the older generation, right? But Facebook gets the gnarliest because the olds have no filter. They say whatever they want to say. Case in point.
Kate.
Yeah. I sound like Kate. I'm doing one of your kids words. One of your kids writing their spelling.
Poise Kate.
Poise.
The word is Poise Kate. That is a good one.
Start spelling it.
Poise Kate. Okay. Case in point. Here's an example of the olds going wild on Facebook. My mother-in-law.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
She was at the house the other day, months ago, and she put on her telenovelas she's watching, and she's explaining to me all of the drama, not that's happening in this episode, of their actual real lives of the actors, right? She's like, this guy just got divorced because he cheated on his wife, and he had an affair with this actress over here.
Oh, she's talking outside of the show?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, ooh, she's giving me all the cheese, man.
Poise Kate.
Yeah, this is a really good Poise Kate. So she's giving me all the cheese, man, of the real lives of the actors, not their characters. And she was like, and this guy, when he cheated, his wife was on social media saying that this actress broke up their marriage. But that's not true, because he's been cheating on her with all kinds of women. So I had to leave her a message.
Stop.
I said, Carmen.
Read it to me.
I said, no, you did not. And she goes, yes, I did. Gets real proud. Yes, I did. And I'm like, what did you say? I said, please, don't say this woman break up your marriage. Your husband been cheating in you with everybody. I said, you can't be messaging people. That's not even your business. I'm like, now, like, I get these wild messages sometimes, and then I'll look, and it's somebody's grandma. Somebody's grandma is sending me that, like, they'd be saying some wild stuff because they don't get it. Right. I don't know. And I was just like, Carmen, people send me weird messages like what you were just saying. Like, yeah, no, you did not.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she was also saying how she messages, who's the football player, the quarterback for the Chiefs?
Travis Kelce.
No, quarterback.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mahomes. First of all,
whoa.
Both of you guys,
first of all,
your Kelce's.
Whoa.
Both of you with your, oh my God, Taylor Swift's boyfriend?
Whoa. I can't believe I just knew shit about football for a second. Like that, like, honestly, you've seen it here first on Fungula.
And first of all, both of you guys were real excited to like have a football answer. Like, who's the quarterback? Travis Kelce. Kelce. I hate both of you.
I don't know what he does on that team.
I know. I was just thinking, I was like, actually, I don't know what his position is.
I don't know.
Is.
I don't know the positions.
Boyfriend.
Right.
That's the one I know.
Right.
So my mother-in-law thought she was messaging Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Stop.
Yes. And I was like, what do you say to him in your messages? You know, like, on the game day, I say, good luck, guys. You can do it. And I'm like, oh. And he replies to you? Yeah. Sometimes his manager say,
oh,
he's too busy on game day, so he doesn't read the message, but I will tell him. And I'm like, do I tell her that this is not a real interaction that she's having with somebody, that it's like a fake page, or just let her have her like wildest dream come true that she's communicating with Patrick Mahomes, who she loves? And I was like, no, I need to tell her, because God forbid they start asking her for money.
Oh, they will too.
I was just thinking,
and she's
that.
Like, anything for Patrick Mahomes.
I was
so
just thinking. Yeah.
I was like, Carmen, this is not real. They don't respond. And I was like, here, let me show you. And I showed her on Facebook. I said,
yours.
First, you show me who you're messaging. And she showed me, and it was a fan page for his kids. It was like Patrick Mahomes' kids. And it was like, pictures.
Patrick Mahomes with a Z. Right?
Yeah. And it was like not a real page. And I was like, this is not real. And then I show her his real page with a blue check mark.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so you got to look for this blue check mark. Next time you want to be messaging celebrities, look for this blue check mark. This is the real one. You can follow him. And then Reyes, my father-in-law, is, see, Carmen, you got to delete the other one so they don't ask you for monies. And then she's like, they don't ask me for money. And I'm like, well, not yet, but they will.
I think I love Carmen.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you absolutely should.
She's the best. I love Carmen. Okay, here's the thing, though. There's two. Do you ever get the messages? I know you do.
All right,
where it's like,
me.
It'll use your full name, right? So it'll be like, dear Joe Dombrowski. And then it'll go into this pre-scripted thing. And it'll be like, we want you to come on the Joe Rogan Experience to talk about culture, da-da-da-da. And we'll pay you $5,000 an episode.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't get paid to do anybody's podcast.
Yeah.
That's that.
Yeah.
And second of all, no. So I started messaging these accounts back.
I love it.
And I go, thank you so much for considering me. I'm so honored. I'm such a huge fan of whoever it is. I go, my rate is actually $15,000 per episode at a 3-episode guarantee. Can you match it? And then they say yes. And then I just keep upping it till the game's over. It's just like, you have to.
That's so good. I've gotten a couple of those.
Yeah.
One was a podcast in Africa. And they wanted me to be on the podcast in Africa. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm big in Africa? Like, thank you. And it was like a real podcast, but it wasn't their real team reaching out. Mm-hmm. And then another one, I think it was Theo Vaughn. It was like, we want you to be on Theo Vaughn's podcast, Angela Nicole Johnson. And I'm like, oh, I'm okay. This is not, you're not real.
Yep. It happened recently to another comedian. I'll tell you the name later.
Okay.
But they, like, fell for it and went in on it. And but what happens is they get to the point where they set up a Zoom link for you. And then you go on the Zoom link and they start saying like, oh, we can't see your stuff. Like, we can't hear you. We can't see you. And you have to go into your settings and change this to make it work. And then you do. And then they log into your social media, change your password so you can't get in. And then they use your platform and they'll put up on story. It'll just be like, some woman twerking with like a link to click something.
No.
Like the ultimate clickbait.
They got this comedian.
Yeah. So then like, and then the links are going to whatever they're trying to get people to do so they can then scam more people.
Oh, I hate this.
Yeah. 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 So this particular comedian, like for a week, it was just like asses on their story. It was it was wild.
Oh, it was wild. No.
I'm 100% know you know this person too.
Okay, tell me later. I feel so bad. I'm trying to think of who I've seen recently online going, why are they posting this?
Let me I'll type it and you can read it just so the fans can see your reaction. I think that's important.
I was curious. I was like, what does happen?
Yeah, so like, do they get money? Because they're promising you money. Are they like, send us your bank account number and we'll direct deposit it? Aw. That's... No.
But think about that person's fans. Think about who that person's fans are. Think about who that person's fans are looking, and it's just like twerking asses.
Did
you see it when it happened?
I think I saw an apology. I think I saw, like, hey, I was hacked.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
No way. Mm-hmm. Aw, I want to know whose podcast he thought he was going on.
Same. So do I.
Yeah.
So do I.
I mean, he or she thought they were going on.
They. It was a non-binary podcast.
Yeah. I was trying to think how we first got connected.
I don't even really know.
Did I message you on the gram? Was I just like fangirling on you or something?
No, I think, yeah, like you followed me. I had clearly already been following you. And then I was like, what's happening? And I like couldn't hold it together. And I remember, I think I was trying to be like so cool. I was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh yeah, like, oh, and I'm also a big fan. And like, you thought some stuff that I was posting was so funny. But in reality, it is cool being friends with you. Aww, in real life.
Thanks.
Because I do think about like how like I watched you grow in comedy. And now like I'm doing that. And it's crazy to have like watched you go through the same things that I have, because you came up in comedy in a non-traditional way, as did I.
Yeah.
And it's very like inspiring and cool because so many people, you know, like for whatever reason in comedy don't take that legitimately.
Right.
And here we are like,
yeah,
recognize.
Yeah. Recognize. We're doing it.
Right. Sorry.
We're doing our own specials.
It's very inspirational.
And it's like, if you didn't just come up from the comedy clubs, like work in the clubs, then it's like not respected, I guess, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you popped off on social media, then like, oh, they're just they're a social media person. Mm-hmm. Even if you've well proven yourself on stage with joke writing and stand up.
Yeah.
If you are viral in any other capacity, oh no, they're not.
See, the craziest thing to think about though too is like when you, first of all, I think you were probably in the first wave of virality.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we were using the terms social media at that time.
No, it was just YouTube.
Like
it was just internet video.
That you were probably still sending as links in emails.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Like that's what we used to do. And it's so wild too. And even like when my videos started going viral, how much it's changed since then.
What were your first videos to go viral?
So I was never posting my stand because I was teaching still.
Okay.
So I never posted any of my comedy because I was scared. I was also going by a pseudonym on stage, so like parents and staff couldn't find me.
What was your pseudonym?
Joey D or Joey D Pizza.
Okay. Okay. I'm glad I didn't know you then.
Right. Respect. Okay. Some respect on that name.
Okay, Joey D.
So I was like just doing things, but the first video to actually go viral was when I was pranking my students, and I did the fake spelling test. And that I knew it had legs to stand on, like I knew it could do well. Which is why I never made the video private. I was like, this could be something. But I never thought it like would do what it did.
And what did it do?
20 million overnight, which back then, now, but see, this is like the everyday TikToker views though. Like this is
okay,
like,
but when I went viral,
what was it?
It was 4 million views in a month.
And that was like, and that shit was your like, pants
what?
Views.
20 million views
yeah,
in one day.
Like, F. And then I knew, because I came to school the next day and like Good Morning America was trying to get a hold of my principal and stuff. And like, yeah, like all the news outlets were calling.
So did you get any kind of flack for it? Did you get any kind of like, you're in trouble, you weren't supposed to do this? Even though you're not like showing kids' faces or anything, did you get any like, hey, we don't even want... whatever.
Yes, I got two big ones. One, my boss rushed into my classroom before school started. And I knew it was going to be a problem because that morning at student drop-off, the parents were like, there was a lot of pointing, there was a lot of whispering, there was a lot of, oh my God, there were parents coming up to me. Parents whose kids weren't in my class, who I had never met, coming up to me, talking about it. And I was like, oh, that's what this means. So then I get to my classroom before the kids are in there, and my boss like rushes in huffing and puffing, and he goes, I just want you to know, you filmed that in this school, in this classroom, so technically like that's not your property, like that is the district's property. And I was like, okay,
oh wait a minute, that's what we were worried about,
right? Like that's what he was like worried about. So I was like, no.
And he wanted the views.
He had his own account.
So okay, I don't know how I want to explain this chronologically. Okay. So then, you know, it was snowball for the next like couple weeks. It was a big snowball. And then I was starting to get courted by the Ellen DeGeneres show, who also told me to like, yo, if you do any other show, like we're not going to be able to have you. Like we definitely want first dibs on this. But she was always an idol of mine in comedy, like when I was a little kid. So like, it was, that was mutual. Got it. Like, I won't. So I started having conversations with the superintendent and saying, I'm being courted by these TV shows. One of them's Ellen DeGeneres. I just want to let you know. And he is like, under no circumstances are you allowed to do this. Like, you need to start ignoring these calls and emails. Like, you're not doing it.
They can say that?
They did.
Well, if you're under contract,
but as you know, spoiler alert, if you don't know the story, I went and I told him, I went in and I just said, I'm doing it. Like I just like that. I said, I'm going. It's booked. I leave on this day. It's happening. And he, I don't know what happened with the superintendent, but some like there was some sort of shift where he kind of realized like this guy's gonna do his own thing. Like I cannot stop this, right? Because it really was to the point if he wasn't going to let me go, like I was going to leave. Like, and then the story would have been like bad on them. So, but so then he hired a crisis intervention lawyer to prep me on how to answer questions. Like if they answer questions like this, these are your responses. Like,
what was he afraid of?
I think they were just afraid that they were gonna do like it was like gonna be a gotcha thing. I was like, "Do you watch the show?"
Yeah.
But interesting. It was all fear based. I was like, "Listen," and we didn't know yet. Yeah. But I was like, "They're gonna give us something. Like they're gonna donate to the school or something." So like let's just see what this is. But that was not. But that's the one of the biggest problems with education is people move with What if in a negative sense?
Yeah.
Rather than what if good? What if we made memories for the kids? What if they learn something? What if we change some lives?
Those are always
here?
The best videos on Ellen when they go to a school and like the kids are just like wild. Whoa, and like what new computers? Like,
and that's what we got. Like it was like it was really a proud moment, really amazing. And I taught in a Title I school at the time, which that's a school where the majority of the families qualify for free and reduced lunch. And it was just like, we just got a ton of stuff for all of us.
Yeah.
Like, this is a win-win. So
Did they eventually be like, all right, it's fine? Or were they still like, okay, no more after this?
Yeah. It was a no more after this, but I was like, shortly before the video went viral.
Did you have to sign an NDA? Because I feel like your thoughts are like, I can't say this.
No.
Let me.
No, they're not. I'm actually thinking about how to tell it without giving stuff away. Because I'm trying to like tell it in a way where like the cool part comes last.
Okay.
But I, shortly before, like months before, my comedy in Detroit started to really pick up.
Yeah.
And it would all sort of like, things work in mysterious ways, right? Mm-hmm. And I was growing this fan base. Parents started coming to the shows. A former boss of mine came to the show. Like, people, like, were really loving what I was creating in Michigan.
Yeah.
And I definitely had a strong local fan base who are still with me.
Yeah.
And then this happened. And then I remember the superintendent was like, yeah, you know, this is just 15 minutes. So, like, enjoy it while it is. And I was like,
oh, my God. Yes. Oh. Yeah.
And I took it as a challenge.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I had – and, a, like, another boss was – another one of my bosses was like, he's going to leave the minute he gets the chance. And I was like, I'm not that stupid either. I know what this is built on, and I know the audience that I'm now growing. Like, I'm not – and I loved it. Like, it was – teaching is amazing. But I knew that this was a huge opportunity to build something that I've always wanted to do. Like, I was a stand-up comedian for my third grade talent show. Like, this is what – this
Joe.
Like, I was moonlighting as a teacher.
You know. That's so cool.
So it was there were definitely huge barriers and big obstacles, but I
good on
knew
you.
How to tactfully like row through the river.
Good on you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm very proud of that.
That's so cool. Was that the last school that you taught at before you left teaching?
No, actually. I taught at two schools prior to that because I started making my way west. So after that school year, I taught in Chicago for a year.
Okay.
And then taught in Seattle for a year.
And were you still, like, when you came into that school, you're like, hey, just so you know, this is what I do?
Angela didn't have to. Which was, I was starting to realize it where it got to the point where I was like a distraction and I was starting to realize this isn't good for the kids because like substitute teachers would like sign up to our school, but only sub in mic room or like parents would like do shifty stuff to like get access to like be in the room like want to see if their kids would be in a video. And then like other things were happening too. Like I made a video about how I was ordering Jimmy John's at lunch because you're allowed. And then the superintendent at that district like threw a fit that I was like ordering food while at work. And I was like, I have a lunch break. Like I can put in a food order.
Yeah.
Like what are you talking about? Shoots. So it was getting to that point. But the nail in the coffin was I was realizing too that I was taking every single day off that I was allotted to do shows. I was I would leave on Friday, head straight to the airport, play my weekend, and come right back and work on Monday. Sometimes I would fly on red eyes and go straight to work. And I was working two full-time jobs and I wasn't living life.
No.
And I was like, this isn't fair to me, but it's not fair to the kids because they don't have a full teacher. They have a teacher who's trying to work two jobs and they need a teacher who's focused on them fully. And that was the school year that I was like, this isn't right. So I love this, but sometimes when you love something, you have to say goodbye.
Aww.
And I had another boss who, not the one that when I left, told me, do I think you're a good teacher? I think you're good. Do I think you're a good comedian? She's like, I think you're good. We could probably get better. And I think you'll never be great at either of these things until you let one go.
Oh, yeah. I needed you to get to that point faster.
I knew where you were going.
Right here and I was like, I'm going to fight. Who is it? No, give me their name. What's their at? Give it to me now.
I was with you. I knew exactly where you were going.
Okay,
I was
okay.
But then she said, one of these things you have a degree in and can always come back to. And one of these, the nail might never be hot again.
I love this person.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I love this person.
That was a tough pill to swallow too, because at first I was like, what? And then I said to her, I go, so am I fired or am I quitting? Like, what is this conversation? What is this conversation? But it was pretty cool.
Oh my God, I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Wise words. Those are very wise words.
Sometimes
very bold
those things
words.
You need to hear, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thank her for saying those words to you because
I do too.
I'm sure that really gave you a boost.
Yeah.
To like and confirm probably what you were already feeling and thinking, but to have someone else see it and someone who's like your boss.
Yes.
That's
and it was you're we're about to right now.
Yeah.
You know how when you don't have a target on your back anymore and you just start saying your comedy comes from the heart, from like real things that you want to talk about. When I no longer had a target on my back of I'm gonna lose my teaching job if I say that thing.
Yeah.
And not even talk about I'm not dirty or filthy.
Yeah.
But topical wise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And once I came out and started saying these things, mm-hmm. it was like the fan base was like, I want that.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
ooh,
well,
authenticity.
Right. Matters. Yeah. Truly mm-hmm. matters. So
totally. So good.
Yeah.
That's so good. Thank you for sharing all of that. That's so interesting. And I mean, where you've gotten so far in your life, there's so much to be grateful for mm-hmm. just in that beginning, getting you here, and then where you continue to climb and grow. And there's so much to be grateful for. But we always start the show with that one thing that is just annoying us, pissing us off, that one thing that just gets under our skin and makes us mad, and that's our mattitude. What is your mattitude these days, Joe Dombrowski?
This one's about under my skin.
Okay.
Did you watch the Dallas Cowboy cheerleader documentary?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
Why, PTSD?
I don't know why I didn't, but I know that I purposely didn't.
Okay. Mm.
But I don't know why. Mm. Like, I was just like, I don't want to watch it. Mm. Why?
I don't know.
Am I jealous?
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh, am I jealous?
Ooh, are
that
you?
That was the first thing that came to my head. Am I jealous? Why did I do that?
Why would...
Or am I mad because it's not a Raiderette documentary? Oh. Even though I'm not on the squad anymore, I'm right. like, whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like they're that older sister who always gets the attention.
Sure. Even when you were on it, did you feel
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. The Cowboys have always been the queen
they are.
Cheerleaders yes. of the NFL.
I did not know
the NFL. Oh, yeah.
unleash this can
no,
of
like,
worms on you.
Cow- oh. I know. I didn't realize either
okay,
until
wait,
you just
I know.
Said it.
Sorry. I just see you guys. She's looking at me with death.
They are. I know what you're about to say. She did this the other day, and I don't want to overstep your attitude.
No, I
need and
it.
We're gonna
what
get
did I do?
Here's mine. You keep calling them cowgirls. They're not cowgirls.
Oh, what are they?
They're the Dallas
Cowboys
cheerleaders.
DCC.
Oh.
DCC, oh. America's Sweethearts.
Okay.
And they are number one. Continue.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that correction, though. I did need to yes. know that. So the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Yes. Mm-hmm. They are America's Sweethearts. They are mm-hmm. like the epitome of NFL cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Raiderettes, we were always like just like second place all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we can never come up, like we're always mm-hmm. second place right behind Dallas. So maybe that's
Ooh.
Why I didn't watch it. I don't know.
Maybe that's why.
Okay. But why is it pissing you off?
My mattitude is, and I really have been thinking about this since I watched it.
Okay.
They basically don't get paid.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about that.
Okay. But one yeah. girl said, and no shade, but she's like, I pretty much get paid as if I was working at Chick-fil-A.
Uh-huh.
But then they also have careers. Yeah. Like, they're like pediatric nurses and like medical saleswomen. They're like working women and then do this. And I, like, I'm so sorry, but like, if it's such an integral mm-hmm. part of the culture of this brand and you need these this team to do whatever you need them to do, whatever that need be, how is that right to do that? Like, it just, the whole time I was watching, like, it made me sit nasty. But here's the other thing that I have. The girls aren't doing nothing about it. The girls are fine with it. You can't be fine with that.
Here's okay. Yeah. So
please.
I know. I'm like, get into
when
it.
I cheered, we were
I feel like I'm showing like cooter to the camera.
I love it's so
we'll zoom in.
Raunchy. We're gonna have to blur it. I love it.
Sorry, should you
I'm gonna get censored on YouTube. Like, hey Andrew, YouTube channel got flagged. Sorry.
Yeah, can't show a whole
one. Like the Olympian.
Oh my god.
That's a gratitude.
Just that is what, like, you missed out on a medal, but also you still won at the same time. You know what I mean?
Massive win. But we're talking about the pole vaulter.
Yeah. The pole vaulter.
Dude, I saw that.
He's got more than one pole.
Ooh. Right. Danielle is quick.
My friend who's not a comedian tweeted this out. Do your friends who are ever not comedians say things and you're like, Need it.
Yeah. Thank you. Adopted.
How funny is this? Okay. I'm going to find it. So the title of the article about that is worded, pole vaulter's Olympic dreams shattered by his own penis. And he tweeted out, roses are red, women are from Venus, and then posted the link to pole vaulter's Olympic dream shattered by his own penis. I was like, that was so a great tweet.
That was great. That was great.
Like, that should have been for me.
Yeah.
You're my new ghostwriter. Sorry. Okay. Keep going.
No. So when I was a cheerleader for the Oakland Raiders, this is 2002-2003 season, we were the highest paid cheerleaders in the NFL. We got paid more than the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders at that time. And we got paid $80 a game.
And that doesn't even include practice or anything, right?
Just the game. So we had three mandatory practices a week. And we had charity events that we had to show up to.
See what I'm saying?
And scoop ice cream for at ice cream socials. And we had to show up. But the only time we made money was selling our calendars. So you could book as many calendar signings as you wanted at the mall, at wherever you were going to, Dick's Sporting Goods, wherever you wanted. You could set up your little booth, come in your uniform, bring your calendars, and sell your calendars. You bought them wholesale, and then you make your profit.
So it's an MLM on top of everything. Yes. This is insane.
There's different tiers. Yes. And that's how you would make your money. So there was some girls who made bank off their calendar sales, and they were every weekend that we could hustling, selling those calendars, making thousands of dollars. But you had to do that all on your own. And then, and everyone on the squad, it's a full-time hobby. We had teachers, we had marketing directors, we had nurses. Everybody had their own careers and things that they were doing. But I think I can't speak for everybody why something doesn't get done about it. I know recently in the past, maybe it was 5 to 10 years, I don't remember, somebody from the Raiderettes did sue for this. And I don't remember the outcome. I know they did try to get people involved, like, hey, join this lawsuit. And I don't think a lot of people did because people are afraid. They're like, then I won't ever be able to be a part of this again. It's like one of those, you can't like sue the company and then still want to work for the company.
Right.
So something definitely needs to change. I just don't know who's going to do it.
Right.
So, but right. It sucks. Yeah.
Well, okay, no shade to the girls. Uh-huh. But when you watch the documentary too, these girls in the Dallas Cowboys, cheerleaders, are so, like, they're, some of their multiple of, like, their mothers were, and now they are. Yeah. So the majority of the girls are like, this is such an honor. This is such, I can't believe I am being given this opportunity.
Yes, yeah.
So like that's their currency. And I'm like, you live in a studio apartment with your little sister.
Yeah.
Like, and you have no time to do anything else other than like your career and this ain't right. And then they all collectively have that mindset, and that's detrimental. And it reminded me a lot about teaching too.
Okay.
Because a lot of these teachers do this phrase that's like, we teach for the outcome, not for the income. I'm like, that's so toxic. That's so bad for the profession. Because we are a profession. I love that I still talk about myself as I'm still doing it.
Can't, but it's okay.
Can't lift it. It's like, you do it, and this needs to be rewarded. You're in charge of people's children when they're not there. Like, these are the people who are going to become the people that run the world when we can't any longer. And we're getting paid like this. Yeah. Like, it's just so insane to me, the disparity there. But it's never going to change unless people band together in full.
Yeah.
Like, you know how when, like, the strikes were going on, like the actor strikes were going on last summer, and they were, what's that, a scab? People were like, if you are not in the union and you take a union job, you're a scab, you'll be blackballed forever.
Yeah.
Like, that was effective.
Yeah.
Because there weren't people to take these jobs. And eventually, like, things moved. And the only way these girls as cheerleaders can do it is, like, all band together. And it's just not going to happen. They're too happy.
But I think we should also get those teachers, too. I think
let's
get them the raise first before the Cowboys cheerleaders.
But here's the thing though. Why the cheerleaders bothered me so bad was because what the NFL brings in compared to public education, they have the money to do it.
Yeah,
they totally do.
Right?
Yeah, 100%.
And thank God now these girls can do brand
deals. Who's getting the money from the documentary and the years-long CMT making the team?
Mm-hmm.
Who was getting all of... They used...
Keep going.
They used
Preach,
all
Mom.
Of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They used all of their images and their lives and their stories.
Uh-huh.
Who got all that money?
Who?
Mm.
It wasn't them.
Wow.
No.
I'm like, as someone who's from Dallas, I'm like, I'm getting very heated about it.
Did it hit you when you watched it too? Were you like,
Well, here's the thing is like, I grew up watching that show, obviously, and I went to high school with several girls who became DCCs.
Straight up.
And it's like, but it was, here's the thing is like, if you are a dancer or a cheerleader, because it's not real cheerleading, it's dancing is what it is.
Uh-huh.
And that's like a goal, not, oh, I'm going to be a dancer on Broadway or a professional dancer. So many girls, their goal was to be a DCC like that. They've made it. They've peaked. And so I understand the whole of like don't wanting to mess up the system because they've all been wanting to be this since they were. I mean, I think I dressed up as a DCC when I was little.
We all did it.
Like it was like it's something. If you're from Dallas, especially, it's such a part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so they definitely I understand where they're coming from, but it is disheartening to hear, like, still, it's still.
Girl, are
that
you wearing
way.
The Dallas Star in your earrings right now?
Oh, I am.
You?
I'm also wearing a doll. It was because I was wearing
our
a Dolly shirt.
You are diehard.
Spot on.
You brought up the
She's
wrong Mattitude today.
I brought up that.
You
sure
thought it was
did.
Your Mattitude. Listen.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. 100%. And I'm like, and my parents are teachers, and I'm like, pay them more. I'm like, so.
Oh, yeah. Both her parents are teachers, too.
We've connected on a spiritual level.
You guys really have right now.
Yeah.
Should I
have
leave?
You ever been to one of my shows?
No.
Oh, we got to get you. If you ever come to the show, I'll whip out some of my tried and true teacher stuff.
Okay.
For sure.
Love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Done deal.
But anyway, on board. Let's start the riots. Let's start the strikes together. I'm ready.
Oh my God, the teacher riots and strikes will be like in a single file line.
Gotta tell you something. Like,
with their construction paper signs.
Do you ever do American Comedy Club in San Diego?
No.
Come on, really?
No.
You've never played it? You're too big for it.
I've only done theaters there.
No, I'm done.
I
only do the Balboa.
It's true.
I know.
I did the Comedy Store in La Jolla.
Okay. But even like, it probably wasn't around when you were like in transition
probably
into
not.
Theaters. Okay.
Probably not.
So basically the green room is like an oven in the back behind the stage. There's no windows. Like it's not, it's for sure not up to code. And
what club is?
No, let's be real.
Are you okay?
I lifted a leg and then that pop happened. I think it was my hip. Just kidding. It was definitely this chair. I'll get you a new one.
No.
What happened? I don't know what happened.
I thought you hit your knee on the table.
No, it was 100% like a beam in this chair. No, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
You guys,
we
need a Wayfair sponsorship. Wayfair gives me just what I need. That's furniture, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway. I'm doing it and then my assistant at the time comes barging in right before I'm about to go on. Like the feature just finished. I'm about to go on. He's like, there's a fire. We have to go. As he's grabbing me, the alarms go off. And I'm like, oh, shit.
That is my nightmare.
But I went out. Like I walked out of the green room. And this isn't an exaggeration. My fans were in single file lines walking like with peace signs. Like they were counting their friends.
No.
I swear to God. The club will tell you too. Anybody who was there that night will tell you. And then when we got out, finally we got out of the building, they were catcalling the firefighters.
Yeah.
So there I was they like, go. These are some, they know. They know. Turn it on, turn it off.
These are your people.
That's real.
That's a really great, really great Mattitude. Really great stories. My Mattitude is my chair is broken. I got to order a new one after this. Totally fine. No. That is weird. I apologize for if it scared you.
I apologize.
Your life.
I do have a sliver in my ass cheek right now.
I'm so sorry about that.
Just kidding.
Before we move into gratitudes and all the things that we're grateful for, I just want to pause and say how talented you are and how funny you are, how charming you are. And I am just such a fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
And I think that's when I started following you and you're like, oh my God, Angela's following me. But I really just think that you are genuinely such a good person and such a star. And I'm very happy for all of your success.
Thank you. I'm trying to get better at taking compliments.
That's good. But that is good. So somebody taught me how to receive a compliment one time. And this was no big deal. Just Princess Meghan Markle.
Diana.
Meghan Markle.
Did you hear what I said, though, when we said that the same
thing? Yeah, we were.
I said Diana, and you said Markle. And I was like, oh, my God. That was weird that we did that.
It was like Holy Spirit said, hey.
Activate.
No, it was actual Meghan Markle, though.
Well, so what?
Okay, so I was a stand-in on a TV show. Mm-hmm. And she was a guest star on that show. And I forget the name of the show.
Before.
Wasn't it Love?
Years ago.
Love Inc.
Yes. Love Inc. So this is, I'm 24 maybe at the time. And we're standing off maybe by Crafty or somewhere. We're not actually on the set. We're like off to the side. And she says to me, your skin is so beautiful. And I said, oh no, your skin is beautiful. And she says, with all loving kindness, wisdom, she stops and she says, when someone gives you a compliment, it's okay to just say thank you. And she wasn't being nasty to me. She was educating me and giving me permission to say thank you, that I don't have to deflect, that it doesn't mean that I'm conceited if I didn't deflect. It doesn't mean that I'm all about myself and stuck up if I didn't deflect. It's okay to just say thank you when someone gives you a compliment.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I have switched my habit of deflecting. You were supposed to deflect, like, you're so beautiful. Oh, no. Oh, please stop. Oh, no. To just go, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone that I ran into recently did something similar. I thought it was so classy and also very on brand. I ran into Jimmy.
Was it Meghan Markle, though?
It was Jimmy Carr. It was Meghan Markle. But on the same side of the pond, apparently. So his most recent special had just come out, and I ran into him at the store, and I was like, Jimmy, I just want to let you know I watched the special, and I really loved it. And he goes, you know, I've been telling people that. And I just thought that was so cool. I thought that was so cool because he was like, I believe in it too.
Yeah.
But he also hit it back with a joke, which is what he does.
Yeah,
and I was just like, that was classy. That was cool. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to learn how to accept compliments with a joke.
With a joke, right?
Oh, I love your dress. Thank you. I love it too.
This is one of those.
Thank you. I'm very pretty.
So this was Meghan Markle pre any royalty.
She hadn't even done Suits yet.
Wow.
She was like already practicing or like was already there. Like,
yeah.
It's such a royal compliment.
Yeah. Wisdom.
Wisdom. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's great.
Yeah.
Nothing but great things to say about the Marks.
Love this. Love this. Love this.
Joe, what are you grateful for? Mm. There's so many things in life we could be grateful for. What are.
I made a list.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you for making a list.
I did take time to think about this.
I'm going to write it down.
My number one, I'm actually super, and this isn't trying to be funny.
Okay.
I'm super grateful for Chapel Roan.
What?
Have you fallen?
No.
Stop.
The next 2 weeks of your life, gone. Whatever you have on your calendar, cross it off because you're just going to fall down this rabbit hole. She's an artist who exploded.
Oh, I said, what is this? Oops, sorry.
It's okay.
You definitely know these
songs. You do know these songs. H-O-T-T-O-G-O.
I think you just played it for me recently, and I was like, I don't know the song.
So when you start listening to the album, you'll be like, oh, I know that, I know that, I know that.
Okay,
well, she's that popular right now.
Pink Pony Club.
Pink Pony, yes.
Danielle did just tell me, and she was going through songs, and I was like, okay. I'd never heard the ones she told me, but continue.
She is the cool, I'm obsessed with her music.
Okay.
And on top of that, I just think she's really cool. I am super grateful for her because she has this song called Pink Pony Club, and it's all about so you can break it down in different ways. It's like a top song right now.
I can't stop singing it.
Can't.
I was listening it on the way over here.
Can't
wake up to it in the morning. Alexa, play Pink Pony Club.
So the song is essentially about she sings it in a context of like wanting to go aspire to do drag or something like that, right? And she lives in the small town of Tennessee. And there's this back and forth moment that she has where she switches between singing as herself and singing as her mom responding.
Oh.
And her mom is saying, like, God, what have you done? You were just this little girl who loved dresses and stuff, and now you want to go dance like that? And she responds back, like, I have a call. I don't know what it is. I have a calling. This is what makes me happy. These are my people. These are who accept me. This is what I have to do. Mm-hmm. The fact that words and themes like this mm-hmm. are mainstream right now mm-hmm. makes me so happy for kids who are alive currently. Mm-hmm. Because I could not even imagine what my life would be right now if I could listen to someone speak into existence so publicly, mm-hmm. you will find your people. Like, mm-hmm. it will be okay. Like, there is a world out there for you. It might not be where you are right now, but it exists and it's real and it's here. And the fact that she is, like, in taking this moment to, like, give people that glimpse of hope is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for it.
Oh, that's really special. Well, now I have to listen for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
That's awesome.
It's very, very cool.
I think, and especially you looking at that even from the teacher perspective and having the inside knowledge of what happens in these young kids' lives that parents don't see while they're at work and their kids are at school, and they don't get to see what's happening in their child's life and what they're struggling with. Maybe sometimes they'll come home and talk to their parents about it, but a lot of times probably not. They're probably just talking to their friends about it, and their friend is in the same brain development that they are. So it's not like they're getting that great advice from someone. So to be able to, like, hear a song mm-hmm. that has those kinds of encouraging,
chokes me up
words, that's very special.
Even breaking it down, like, in, like, so many different ways, you don't even have to listen to it in an LGBT concept, mm-hmm. right? Like, there are kids who are just, like, into something that is not the norm of where they are. They might be super into, like, chess or design or literally plants, and that's considered weird by their peers.
Yeah.
And she's saying, like, you're gonna find your tribe. Mm-hmm. You're gonna find, and just, like, that wasn't messaging in the early 90s.
Yeah.
That wasn't the messaging. And it is now. And I just love that so much. It's making me very happy to even, like, talk about it.
That's great.
Yeah, it really is.
Shout out,
Chapel Roan.
Listen.
Look at it. I'm out here preaching the good book of Roan. Okay?
You are. Well done.
Roan 912.
Thank you.
And I feel like a little kid who was like, I told you it was cool, but you just had to hear it from somebody else.
That's what it is. I told you, Mom.
I have been speaking Chapel Roan truth.
I'm not kidding. You're going to listen for the next, like, nonstop. Also, it's not just because I love that. That did kind of draw me in. It's one of the first albums in a very long time that I've loved every single song on it. It hasn't happened since Beyonce Lemonade.
You know what's funny? There's one album that I can think of that I loved every single song, and that's Lauryn Hill, Miseducation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
That one, I loved every single song. But also, I probably wouldn't even have caught the lyrics to this song were so powerful, because a lot of times I will not even listen to lyrics. I'll just be like, ba-da-da-da-da, and I'll be like, oh, this is one of my favorite songs. No, not one word to it, but I'm like, ba-da-ba-ba-be. But who sings it? I don't know. It comes on my playlist, like,
and I love it
every day. So
I'll never, Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back.
Yeah,
you know that song that, ooh, rub that smooth skin. You say you want to get my bands, right? Use me. Okay.
We don't have licensing rights. Sorry.
So I'm singing it amongst my peers one day, and I said, ooh, Rumpelstiltskin. Oh. And they were like, I'm sorry. Rumpelstiltskin? Cool guy.
Heard of him?
Yeah. Are you familiar with his work? Kind of an ass.
What else are you grateful for?
Ooh, what's next on my list? I'm really grateful for my husband's relationship with our dog.
Talk about it.
Ugh. Okay. So you had dogs before, right?
Yeah.
Had Manny had dogs before?
Not really.
Morgan either. Morgan, the answer is no.
His mom had a dog, but he wasn't involved in that dog's life. He's like, that's my mom's dog.
Carmen's dog.
Yeah, okay. Carmen's dog.
Yeah.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. Callback. Morgan has never had a dog.
Okay.
His family it's not that they don't like dogs, they just don't have dogs.
Okay.
So Morgan was like, and I grew up with golden retrievers always. And Morgan is, he was very apprehensive. He kind of thought it was going to be one way. And just like seeing one, how much joy they bring each other. The dog likes Morgan more than me.
Oh.
Fully, fully.
Okay.
Sleeps on Morgan. Literally like needs to be touching his legs while they sleep. Morgan's like, I'm going to get deep vein thrombosis in my sleep. And I'm fine with it. And he's fine with it. But the other great thing is like, as a comic, part of our job is to travel so much, mm-hmm. and it is really sweet to know that like they have each other.
Yeah.
And they can like be with each other and play with each other and bring each other joy. And it's very sweet to watch them together.
Have you seen those videos? It's usually of a dad. It's like dad with the dog he said he never wanted. Oh, and they're just in love.
It's my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like this is the same dog who Morgan said could never be on the couch, and I'll like wake up and they're like, he's fully laying on Morgan on the couch, just like talking to each other.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, it's the cutest. And I love that. I love that for both of them.
Would you get another dog?
Oh, yeah. I would actually, in this order, I would probably get another golden retriever. Okay. So they have each other. And I would also like a cow or maybe a couple cows.
I
want
loves cows.
Land.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, she loves cows. That's cows are cute. As soon as she sees one, moo, she starts moving.
Oh.
It's the best.
Oh, that's so cows. Sweet. And cows are sweet. Cows are big dogs.
I love cows.
I met some cows in, where were we? Sweden? We went on vacation and we're in Sweden and we did a bike tour. And then we stopped at this cow farm, but it's like where they make cheese, and they had like all kinds of like touristy trinkets that you can buy here, but you can also go and like see the cows. And this was the first time I had been like face to face with a cow, and the cow licked me with his like sandpaper tongue and it was like this long tongue, and it just like and I got so scared. I was like, oh my God, could eat me. This cow's tongue literally was like, and I was like, oh my God. But that was the first time I was that up close with a cow.
His tongue gave you a microdermabrasion.
Full on. I was like, can you do my face real quick? Can you just help a girl out? But yeah, that was my first experience with cows, and love cows. And I don't love them enough to like not eat them anymore, unfortunately. That would be nice if I got to that point.
I know, I'm not at that point either, but I do love them too. I'm so conflicted. I did make a choice. I did make a choice recently.
Okay.
Morgan and I only consume ethically raised meat.
Okay.
And you can like do like, I mean, we say only, but like, yes, I'm going to like eat things. I could just eat things too. But like when I go grocery shopping, I look for the certified humane.
Okay.
Like cows that were just able to like eat grass and pastures rather than factory farm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, I'm still going to eat you, but like at least you were happy.
At least you had a good life.
Yeah. You got some pets. You got petted.
You got some pets.
Right. You got some
and
carrots.
And then I ended that all for you. I apologize.
Oh! So
but it's okay, you now live through me.
Right.
So.
I can't be vegetarian.
No, I couldn't.
I just love meat. I'm sorry. I love the cows though as a person. This is terrible.
Listen, cow, I love you as a person, but I also love you as a meat. So
Yeah.
I love you as a person and I love you as a meat.
What else are you grateful for? We're just going down this list.
Is this how this works? Or just because I'm like this. Okay, this isn't a plug. This isn't a plug. I swear
unplug
to God.
Unplug it the whole way.
I literally made this list and I was like, they're going to think this is a plug. It's not. This is genuine.
Okay.
Okay. I'm running a show now called My Straight Friends. You're going to be on it in two days. I'm so excited.
Two days or one day? Isn't it tomorrow?
It's Wednesday.
Oh, it's Wednesday.
It's Monday.
As long as it's written down right now.
And it will have
passed
by the time you're hearing this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. JK.
But it's every Wednesday at the Comedy Store. That was the plug.
Okay.
Every first Wednesday. Super took off. In Seattle, like this show took off.
Okay.
And then the store agreed to host it every Wednesday. And comedy, as you know, as stand-ups, you like make a community and then you get big and you have to leave them and you're on your own all the time. You're by yourself in hotel rooms, you're by yourself, like it's just like it gets lonely. I do this with my best friend, my best comedy friend, Richie Armani, based out of Seattle as well, and be able to collaborate consistently with another creative mind to create something that's just not just stand up, but like a full show.
Yeah.
With like this art form that we like enjoy doing together and like working together with another person. I'm feeling so invigorated about the show.
Yeah.
I'm loving like stretching out what I'm doing other than just my traditional hour. And it's just like fun. And I'm loving feeling enthused to work on new things again.
And you are flying in for this.
I am flying in for this, yeah.
This is once a month, you said? Every first Wednesday?
Every first Wednesday.
That's a commitment, man.
It is.
That is, you're bold. You're brave for doing that. Because one, that has to be nerve-wracking committee. You're like, okay, I got to book all the comics. I got to make sure I get the comics. I got to promote it. I got to make sure I sell tickets. And also, guess what? I'm going to have to jump on a flight every time and go to a whole different city to do that. This is a big commitment.
It is.
I'm proud of you.
It is. So my mom always raised me saying, without risk, there's no reward.
Mm-hmm.
And I live my life that way. I really do. And there's a lot of risk here.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly think if I didn't agree to do it, then I wouldn't know what it could be.
Yeah.
Because I am doing it in arguably one of the top comedy performance spaces
Absolutely.
In the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And who knows what that can bring.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be nothing. Yeah. But I don't want to not know.
How about
I want to know I did.
10 years from now, you can say, yeah, I did a regular show at the Comedy Store.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Done.
Right. And just,
like,
yeah.
Even if it's just that. Even if it's that, you can say when you're old and gray, oh, yeah, that legendary comedy club. It's already legendary today.
Still documentaries about.
But then when you are old and gray, oh, yeah, the legendary Comedy Store. I used to produce a show there.
I know.
That's fire. That's pretty awesome.
I know.
Congrats. Yeah,
it's so cool. It is so cool. And I, if I'm being real, this show has something special about it. Mm-hmm. You're gonna see it. You're gonna feel it. It's unique. It's got all these aspects that are like raw and real and new and inventive and creative. And I just think it has so much potential. I just need the right people to see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it has so much potential, and I'm so excited about that.
Love that. I'll be honest, I'm a little bit nervous.
Why?
Because what if I fail your
okay,
ally
listen,
test?
So this is your commitment. A 10-minute set, which you already
done.
Have. You're done. You got it.
That part's
done. And then it's like 7 minutes of us like bantering, playing a game with you.
I know, but what if I lose the game? That's the part that I'm nervous about.
We just came on this podcast to talk about Chapel Roan, Dallas Cowgirl cheerleaders, and metacognition or whatever we're talking about right now. So honestly, I think you're set. You're going to come up on top.
Okay. I'm not bottom of your shirt.
I've been hate crimes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See? Ally.
I love it. See, she knows. She goes up the terms.
She knows terms.
You're using the terms right now. What are you talking about?
That's
you're not going to do well.
She knows terms. Just ask me this on that day. Okay.
It's going to be
the approved
be fun.
Topics
yeah.
are.
Oh, and the other thing too, and I do have to say thank you.
Okay.
I really believe because you agreed to do it and that you're on the very first one and you're like on the promos and stuff like that. Some of the people who I've like gotten on the next like few, I'm literally like texting these people. I'm like, how is this happening? This is so cool.
I'll
drop the names when we're done. But I'm like, this is.
That's awesome.
You gave it some legitimacy for real.
You're welcome.
Which was great. And I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
What else are you grateful for?
Accept the compliment.
She did.
That's what that was. I was just doing. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I am so grateful for my parents and my in-laws.
I was really hoping you were going to bring up your parents because I wanted to talk about them.
Okay, yeah. What do you want to know?
I just love them.
They're great. They're really great. They're super supportive. They're very supportive of my career, and they're very supportive of my husband. They love him. They love him like he is their legitimate son, and I love that they care about him and talk about him and ask about him and know him.
Yeah.
Like my dad is like Mr. Presence. Right. When it comes to presents, he will find things out in the wild and just like you'll never expected it. But now you have this thing because Ron thought you would like it.
Oh,
so he'll do that for Morgan. Like he got Morgan like a cocktail, like a bartender's kit of like all the tools you could use to like make fancy cocktails, like the peeler and the corer and the muddler.
Does he make cocktails?
Because he loves old fashions and he loves to make them. So he got him that kit, too. they just do stuff like that. And it's so cute to see that they like think about him. Like that's when really when special. We're all not together, and that's sweet. And
have they always been supportive of your relationships?
No. No, and I don't think because and I don't think it was ever because in a gay sense.
Okay.
But there were people who I dated who was like, they're like, it's not that one.
Yeah.
This isn't gonna keep coming around. You're like this all the time, like this. And I was like, at the time.
Yeah.
They were right.
Yeah.
As
of course.
They usually are.
As parents usually are.
But yeah, too. And also, like, you know, it wasn't sunshine and rainbows in my house. Like, it was a journey to get where we're at now.
Yeah.
You know, it was a process. It was learning. Mm. It was listening. It was talking. Mm. It was yelling. It was all those things that you would get to a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But to get to greatness is sometimes difficult, but worth it. So, beautiful relationship with them.
Yeah, they're really special from social media, from what I've seen.
They really are.
I don't know them personally, but from what I see in social media,
they
have
great.
Them.
You met them. You met them. They came.
They
to your
came
show.
To a show.
I
but
just
I don't know them
this.
Personally.
No, you don't.
But
you don't
they
know
came.
Personally.
We had a quick meet and greet.
You did a quick. They you.
I
you
gave
allowed
them hugs.
Them to be in your meet.
I did.
Yeah.
I did some hugs.
My mom was so starstruck when she met you.
Aww.
So starstruck when she met you. I just remembered you met them.
Yeah.
And then my in-laws are so cool too. And I think it also takes a very special person to like accept that your child's partner is a stand-up comedian.
Right, right, right.
That's bonkers.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And they're both like, do your thing, boy. They come to the shows. They bring friends.
Love.
Morgan's mom has brought in tables of women to the shows.
Love.
And his sisters too. They're into it. They come with their husband and boyfriend, and it's like cool to feel supported all around.
That's very cool.
Because that's rare, because you talk to a lot of comedians who are just like in the trenches.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Especially with in-laws. Like that's like the popular thing is to not like your in-laws.
Right.
You're like, oh, my mother-in-law. I love my in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
In-laws are great. Great. Sorry.
That's great.
I don't relate on that level.
Okay, so what, like, is telenovelas you and Carmen's thing? Is that how you bonded or what?
We bond because I make fun of her.
And she can take it. She can take the heat. Do you do Carmen in your hour, your new hour?
Since we've been married, she's made it in.
I don't know that I've heard you do it. Is
she has a little piece in this current hour. A little baby tiny piece. But in my fourth hour, third, not fancy. Is that third or fourth?
That's third.
Listen, she's successful. in my third hour special, I do a whole bit about Carmen and my in-laws.
I need
super
to go
Puerto
back.
Rican.
Yeah.
And
it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to go back and listen.
But yeah, in this current hour, she has like a little tiny piece in it. I had a bigger joke that I did about her, and I took it out because I was noticing the reaction that the audience was giving was almost like a, oh, like they thought she was being mean to me.
Uh-huh.
And she is not that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want her to feel bad or anything. So I was like, I think I'm going to take this part out. Like, it's funny, but it's not
worth
necessary.
It. Yeah.
And I was leaning into a little bit, if I'm being fully transparent, leaning into the idea of people have a not great relationship with their in-laws. So my mother-in-law made a couple remarks that if I had that relationship, the we don't get along relationship, this would have definitely been a, oh, she was coming for you, right?
Oh.
But it wasn't a she was coming for you. It was just the old, no filter, the Spanish thing, just like we say things differently. And so it was that. It was not like I'm mean mother-in-law and I don't like you and I'm coming for you. But the way I was telling the story, it was walking that line to where if you have that relationship, they would look at it and go, oh, I know exactly that mother-in-law. I have one too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the response I was getting was, oh, like that. And I was like, oh, but she's not actually that. So I think I'm going to take it out. But I'll tell you and everybody listening what the joke was.
Yeah.
Now that you know the context that she wasn't being made.
And Carmen. You're telling Carmen.
So they came to the house to meet the baby. And there was this one point where I'm sitting at the table and I have my daughter in my hand and my mother-in-law is sitting across from me and I could feel her just staring at me. And I look over at her and she says, Angela, you look like a mom now. And I said, thank you. And she goes, yeah, because you used to be slender.
Ha, ha, ha.
you used to be slender. He said, oh, okay.
Yeah. Joe's laughing. It's just silent.
Thank you so much.
That's wild.
Yeah. And like, she's That's just wild. Bringing the truth. That's she wasn't trying to be mean. Wild. She was just like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is now wild. You look like one of us. Okay.
Yeah. This is wild. She's been waiting. Waiting
for Oh, my God. Yeah. Carmen.
She's just very honest. Yeah. Very no filter. We used to live in this big house up in the hills, and we sold it. And then we moved into a smaller house that was never meant to be like a full-time house for us. And we were just going to like flip it, maybe live in it for a little while and then move on. But then plans change and we've been here a little bit longer. So also the first time they came to this house to see, it's a lot smaller than our other house. And we put a pool in and everything. It looks nice, right? So she was at the house and looking out the window at the pool, and my brother was standing here with her, and she's looking at it. She goes, he goes, yeah, that's a nice pool. She goes, yeah, it's nice. Not that big, but nice. It's not that big, but yeah,
that is
nice.
Amazing. That's amazing.
She's ready to humble at any moment. She'll just knock you right back
that
down.
That is. Oh, I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah,
I'm obsessed with that.
Thank you.
Morgan's mom and I have bonded over Dateline and murder and crime and all that thing. We will text each other, call each other, and like give like, hey, watch this one, and like let me know when you get to this part.
Uh huh. Cute.
This woman. Should have for sure been a forensic scientist.
Ooh.
Like she will, we'll watch mm-hmm. Dateline. We'll be 5 minutes in. She's like, it was this person. They did it like this, this, this. And I'm just okay, sorry. Uh-huh. Let me get to part of it. I'm just like, every time she's always right. She's always right.
She should go into the local precinct and be like, hey, do you have any cold cases I could just take a look at for you?
I want to write a joke about this. I just can't figure out how. Yeah. Her and I have a running joke that we are going to take community college forensic science courses, and then we're going to start Ro and Joe's mystery like mobile, and we're going to like go and solve cases and stuff together.
Like, you're going to be Scoops.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then we have Mac, the dog.
You're going to have a police radio scanner and just listen in.
We could.
And just show up.
Do you know how many times I watch a documentary and it was solved by like a concerned citizen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's Ro and Joe's. For sure.
Yes.
Her name's also Roseanne, and I joke. She jokes because I have such crazy ADD. But the thing is that like I can execute as well. So I get these insane ideas, and then they do come to fruition. And she was laughing so hard because I was joking with her, and I was like, Morgan and I are gonna buy land, and we're gonna build a castle, and it's gonna be a wedding venue, like somewhere in Washington on the water, and it's gonna be called Roseanne's. And she was laughing so hard. I was like, why are you laughing? She goes, because I know you will do it. I was like, yeah, you can come to Roseanne's anytime.
That's a good relationship you have with her.
We have a great relationship. Love it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we wrap things up, do you have any other gratefuls? Do you want to get
to on your list? It was just vegetables. It really is. It says vegetables.
Like a specific kind? Or
I just love them. I'm so grateful organic. For vegetables. I think vegetables are the coolest thing because you can just take a seed, grow it, and you have food.
Yeah.
Sure. I think that's awesome. I think, honestly, I think the way to end like poverty is to make more green space for people to grow vegetables. That's it.
Yes.
And they're healthy and they're good. I love vegetables. I love eating vegetables.
Top three. You can only pick three vegetables to have for the rest of your life.
This is not a euphemism at all. I do love eggplant. Okay. I really do. I really do love eggplant a lot. I also love greens, like Swiss chard, collard greens. Love greens.
Okay.
And if I had to pick a third, what do I always eat? Generally, like carrots.
Oh, okay.
I have a salad with every meal. We're a big salad family.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love raw carrots. Cooked carrots I have a hard time with.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I never go to them. If they're an option, I'm never choosing them.
Really?
But raw carrots, love. I love to just snack on a little carrot.
Really?
Yeah, what's your top three?
Oh, wait. I have to change one thing.
Change
it. My actual favorite vegetable.
Okay.
And I don't like tomatoes that much.
Okay.
But have you ever heard of a Kamado tomato?
No. What is that?
They're only in season for like this much time throughout the year. It's like a brown tomato. It looks like a poo. And then
a poo.
I can eat it like an apple. It is the most delicious tomato I've ever had to come out of tomato.
Yeah, I know this tomato.
They're amazing.
Yeah, big fan. Yeah, love.
Huge fan. My dad, another thing my dad found to come out of tomatoes, just found a vegetable he didn't know, brought it home, we ate it, and we're like, this is amazing.
Love that. So you grew up eating vegetables.
Yeah, well, I grew up adventurous.
Okay.
We would find, and I still do this every day, we would see an ingredient that we didn't know, buy it, and then figure out how to cook it.
Wow.
Yeah.
We didn't grow up that way. Listen, my mom was raising four kids on her own, so it was a lot of whatever was in the fridge and we could microwave, you know. So we did not. I just started eating vegetables in my adult years, but my favorite vegetables. Let's see, French fries. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a root, right?
A French fry.
From a potato.
Tuber.
That's the word I was thinking.
Tuber. Yeah, see, I don't even know those words. Okay. My favorite vegetable, I like zucchini.
Great.
I like to put it in soups. I like to put it in like stews. I love to make stews. So I do like zucchini. I like arugula.
Love
arugula.
Or rocket if you're in Australia.
Yeah.
It's weird that they call it that. But
they're weird.
Yeah. Rocket. You know, they've heard it call it rocket.
Interesting.
Yeah, rocket.
Love arugula with a nice little champagne vinaigrette type dressing.
Love.
A little parm.
Oh my God, I have the best recipe. I'm going to send you for.
Send it to me immediately. Yeah. Okay. And then my third fave veg, I guess raw carrot, but not cooked because You'll always find some baby carrots in my fridge. Mm-hmm. So I guess
I'm shocked you didn't say cucumber.
Here's the thing about cucumbers, though. I love cucumbers, but they always go bad in my fridge.
Okay, no, but you know what you use cucumbers to make?
Cucumber water.
Oh, pickles. We love pickles.
I love pickle household. Oh, same. Pickled any vegetable.
Yeah, I forgot.
Love pickled vegetables.
I wasn't trying to game the system in the three veg question. I was actually going for veg.
Yeah.
But yeah, pickled. Long pickles.
Pickled anything.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Those are really good. Really good gratefuls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sharing those.
So good.
I did a little thought session with myself before.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this is all about. Gratitude. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes we get stressed. You have your first show coming up of the show that you're producing. And who knows? You might be stressed. You might be anxious. You might be like nervous. You might have all these low vibration feelings, right? And then when we marinate in this low vibrating place, right? Anxiety, anger, fear, frustration. When we marinate here, we replay the argument in our head. The guy who cut us off on the road. We stay here. We stay low, right? But gratitude is one of those tools that helps you raise your vibration to start operating from up here, from operating from joy, operating from gratitude, operating from this place where we open ourselves up to receive blessings, to receive somebody who let you in the lane instead of cut you off. You know what I mean? We start operating from this place up here. And gratitude is one of those things when we start practicing it, you raise your vibration up to here. And it's something that I've used in my life with my mental health and everything from practicing in the green room to in my room before I get ready for a meeting or whatever it is, just having one of those days. Oh my God, we just went to the grocery store the other day and the grocery cart we picked was broken and it was all the things. And then we had just cleaned it and wiped it all down with a wipey. And I'm like, oh my God. And then we realized the little buckle for Rosie is broken. So I have to switch it again. And the store that we went to is like one of the ghetto stores. So it was like just inside, it was missing things and everything. And I was like, oh God, why do we come here? It's getting the carts are broken, blah, blah, blah. And I stopped and I was like, you know what? I'm grateful that we got here safe. I'm grateful that I have money to buy groceries that I'm not walking through picking, like, well, we can't get this today, but maybe next week we'll be able to get that, but that I can freely just get groceries. I am so grateful for that. I'm grateful that my daughter's healthy sitting in this dirty cart. Like, she's healthy, like, all of that. And I immediately, I was like, I don't want to sit in this frustration and look like,
I love that.
I don't want to be here. I was like, you know what? No, let's raise it. Let's bring it here. So that's really what this podcast is all about.
I need to do that.
Sharing our gratitude, raising our vibration, putting out good stuff and good thoughts. And what we do is we put out a phone number for anybody to call in and share with us what they're grateful for. That phone number is...
Jingle
it.
747.
Yeah. Don't, read it.
Just wait. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. No, go ahead.
Read it.
747-300-5380.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe Dombrowski. You. And if you need a way to memorize that number, try this.
747-300-5380. Give us a call.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's Manny.
No, it's not Manny. What?
Who is it you paid for?
No.
What is that?
It was a gift.
Yeah, it was
amazing. I
from
love that.
Gabe Gibbs.
Oh, my God. I love Gabe. He's so funny.
That was Gabe.
Yeah. That was Gabe. Oh, he is so funny. And he's so creative.
Yes. Did you see his recent video he posted for sisters?
No.
Wait. You don't have sisters. You're only by yourself. So you wouldn't care that much.
You're by yourself. You're alone.
You're alone.
Just me.
You don't care. It was so funny. It was really, because he does songs, you know, his funny songs, and he goes, this is a song for sisters, and he's, like, playing this, like, this tune, like, it's going to be a beautiful song, and then it just cuts to his face real close in the camera. He's like, you stupid idiot, you thought I was going to send you a song, you idiot, big fat idiot, you're so stupid.
Which is... That's just like historical fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
Imagine if you will. But yeah, it was so funny. Anyways, he made that jingle for us. So we can have our people call in, our listeners call in and tell us what they're grateful for. And we have one today that Danielle is going to play for us.
Cool.
Hello, Angela. My name is Victoria Calderon, and I'm from Hacienda Heights, California. And I just wanted...
Hey, girl.
...to tell you that... I give all my gratitude to my Lord and Savior for waking me up every morning.
Amen, girl.
And to let everyone know that they need to stay off Complaint Street and get on Grateful Avenue.
Hey.
Because we're all too blessed to be stressed and too anointed to be disappointed.
Hey.
God bless you and keep up your good work. You crack me up, girl. Take it easy. Have a good evening.
Thanks, homegirl. That was slogan heavy.
I loved it.
I love that. I love, too, that you're letting them in on doing it, too.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a cool girl move. 100.
Thank you so much.
It is.
Thank you. I was going to say something so stupid right now. I was going to say it trying to make fun, but then I realized I'm going to look stupid when I say it, but it's stupid. I was going to.
You're in too deep. You're in too deep.
Go ahead.
You're in
too
deep.
You have to now.
Because you were like, that's a cool girl move or something like that. And I was like, oh, is that brat? I hate myself. I hate me too.
She's trendy.
Can I tell you? I am grateful and ungrateful for this. Yeah. This is my gratitude and my mattitude in one. You know what? I am proud of myself. Okay. I went and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try on some baggy jeans. They're in. I'm going to put on some baggies. I wear a straight leg. I never really got tutu into skinnies, but a straight jean, they're still attached to my thigh.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm gonna put these baggy jeans on. Wide leg, super baggy. I put them on and I looked at myself and I was like, you are trying to be someone you are not. Took them off immediately. But I am grateful that I had the power to be brave enough to try something new.
That is cool.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we're friends, my friend.
Me too. Yeah. Samesies.
See you Wednesday. You guys won't be there. But.
Yeah.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.